RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Go RVing. Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV. With full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people, ratings, and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent and see how much money you can make renting your own RV.
And by AccuVitec, dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water. AccuVitec makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and your home. Visit AccuVitec.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we're diving into the controversial world of campground etiquette. Campers are supposed to be happy people, right? But mostly we think they are. But sometimes folks forget to mind their manners at the campground.
So here at RVFTA, we're going back to basics and chatting about what it really means to be a good neighbor at the campground. Tune in for some friendly reminders and a healthy dose of controversy.
You might think etiquette is all about following some unwritten set of camping rules, but we know it's really about following that old-fashioned golden rule. You are listening to episode 196, Campground Etiquette with RVFTA.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, RVFTA's complete guide to campground etiquette, it's time for another RVFTA summer travel tip. And this one is sponsored by Accuva.
Accuva is an innovation leader in building water filtration systems for both the home and the RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water no matter where you are. And we are so thankful that we now have that in our RV, and we've already been using it, and we can safely drink the water anywhere we are, and I don't have to worry about it. We're saving money and we're not buying bottled water. We're saving gas because we're not loading up our RV with tons and tons of bottled water.
We never drank the water at the campground. We always got bottled water because we know it's a varying quality at campgrounds. So we just bought bottled water. Not good for the environment. Expensive. It's just annoying to lug around, frankly.
Right. And then you run out halfway through your RV trip and you're running to the store constantly to get more
water. It's also heavy.
We're thrilled that we actually have this now in our RV and we're using it. And the water tastes great no matter where we are.
I would say crisp.
So, all right. So you can go to AccuvaTech.com or you can visit our show notes at RVFTA.com for a link to the AccuvaTech technology.
Okay. So for this week's summer travel tip, we really want to preach a message to you people here. We think that it is time for many of you to start assigning chores to the kids at the campground, both setting up and breaking down. And in between.
Right.
You could ask, well, how old should my kids be to start doing chores? I mean, our kids started doing camp chores at like 3 to 4 years old.
They did. But I want to be honest with people, and they need to know that at a certain point, we did wake up and look at each other and say, we have to make an effort to assign our kids chores. Like, I really do think there's this cultural moment where it's like we all look at each other and we say, oh my gosh, we were expected to do so much more as kids. And honestly, it's hard to teach your kids how to do work. It's not easy to teach them how to do the laundry and all of that.
It kind of drive you crazy and be stressful.
Right.
Like, in the process of teaching them, you're making some sacrifices and things aren't going to get done super quickly, but you're investing in the future for your family.
Right. So it doesn't naturally, you know, come to us to be like, but we've made an effort both at home and at the campground to say our kids need chores. It's good for them. And we have to make an effort to make sure they do them well.
And by the way, we did pass through the stage of divide and conquer, which we've talked to with our podcast listeners, like where you would take the kids off and I would set up a certain part. And then I would take the kids off while you would start cooking dinner because we just couldn't have them around because it felt dangerous almost.
Right.
And it complicated the process of setting up camp. But as soon as your kids really are able to start doing chores, it really becomes a wonderful part of the experience. And quick story, Two summers ago, we were camping at a Jellystone, and the boys did a great job helping me set up. They all did their chores. We got set up quickly before they went off. The next day, we were sitting around the pool, and a guy came up and asked me if I was in the military. And I was like, no, like I'm about as far away from that guy as can be. You know, I'm like an English teacher and a podcaster and a writer. And I was like, well, no, why? And he's like, the way your kids set up camp yesterday was so impressive. And they don't do it. They're not that good every time. I'm not trying to say that every single time.
It's a complete,
he caught me on a good day. But man, I felt proud as a father, you know, because my boys made an impression on other people, which we want them to do.
Well, let's, you know, move backwards though and talk about how they got that way. And that is like taking a page from the teacher handbook. And we do have the classroom background that helps us sometimes with that kind of thing. So if you just say to your kids, help, help, help us pack, help us. To be honest, it's going to seem like they're lazy, but it's not usually lazy. It's actually that they don't know what to do.
And you're going to feel like a nag.
They don't know how to help. And you're just telling them to help. You're telling them, you know, take this, take that. And you're giving them one thing at a time. When what you have to do is really sit down together as parents and think of tasks that you can have your kids do, and then you can teach them how to do. And only teach them one at a time. And then eventually they're going to build their like repertoire of chores. And you're going to be able to say, pack. And they're going to be able to know what to do.
So you started, and Stephanie took the lead on this, you started with some very specific chores for the boys, which don't sound that dramatic or difficult, frankly, and they're not overly technical, things they could do. So where did we start?
All right, so for packing, my kids used to always have to pack their pillows and their lovies when they were really little. Now, the older ones now can do their packing cubes. I give them a number of pants, shorts, like I give them this little post-it with the number of everything that has to go in, and they have to go do it.
And one thing I really like is you also say, bring three books or whatever the number is.
I give them a number of everything.
And it becomes... I think it becomes very educational to them. They have to look at their books and say, well, this is the one I want to read. And they're thinking about reading. You know, they're just thinking about their lives. I mean, they're doing some autobiographical planning about the weekend or the week ahead of them. So I think it really does help them grow up fast.
All right. Now, once you get to camp, think about these things. Teach your kids how to bring down the stabilizer jacks, set up the rug, set up the camp chairs, stack firewood, and set up the fire to be lit.
Which, like, the boys love that. The boys love stacking the fire. That feels cool. They love bringing down the stabilizer jacks. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget when we were in Vermont at a campground, a woman yelled and said, your son's over there pressing a button at the back of the RV. Because Wesley was like, three,
I think.
I was like, no, he's bringing down the stabilizer jacks. He's fine. But it looked ridiculous because he was this tiny little kid.
We have them fill the ice maker with water.
And that's a new one, really.
We have them roll the bikes out of the camper. So these are just very easy things if they know how to set up a campsite that they can do. Now, also, camp breakdown. Usually what I have them do is the same exact thing that they're supposed to do in setting up. They just do in reverse. And again, don't make it too complicated. Give them some simple jobs.
And I think, maybe you'll disagree, I think that's been harder for us than the setup because everyone's excited to be at the campground. Mm-hmm. And they know that they can't go play at the, you know, they can't go play catch. They can't go to the playground or the pool until camp is set up. So I feel like they're very motivated and their attitudes are good. But then breaking down, I'm not saying their attitudes have been bad, but it's a little bit more of a struggle to get
them to
help.
Nobody ever wants to clean up. That's not kids.
I don't want to clean up.
Yeah, you never want to clean up either. Okay. And then also unpacking when you get home. Don't forget this part. Kids can bring in all of the bedding. They can learn to do the laundry and start running the laundry through. They can wipe down the bathroom. Or the boys actually like to wipe down the bathroom with wipes and in the RV. They can sweep and vacuum the RV and they can empty out the refrigerator. All of those things are things that kids can do with very little adult supervision.
It was a game changer for me personally when the boys started helping us unpack at the end of a trip because we're tired at the end of a trip. And to have to spend 3 hours cleaning up, getting the dishes going, you know, getting the clothes in the washer and the dryer. Now that they're helping with that, we get through that process in less than an hour of being totally unpacked.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the important part is to really be specific and be willing to teach your kids how to do these things one step at a time. And eventually they might have 4 or 5 tasks. And if all the kids have that, everything's going to be a lot easier.
That's a key. That's a key is that you don't want to give really young kids 5 chores all at once they're responsible for. You want to start with one thing, then add a second thing as they get those things down.
Yeah. All right. So that kind of wraps it up for our summer travel tips segment for this episode. We really want you to work on giving everybody that's camping with you chores, because if everybody's going to play, then everybody should pay. And that's a really good lesson for kids to learn from the very youngest ages. All right. Are we ready to jump into our campground etiquette talk?
We'll be back in a second to talk about some campground etiquette rules that you need to listen to.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two. We are going to dive into our featured topic, an overview of campground etiquette. This is something we have thought long and hard about over the years, and we're going to give you a great conversation about it. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There's a reason J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's two-year limited warranty, it gives you no worries and all the fun. Available in three different models like J-Flight, SLX, J-Flight, and J-Flight Bungalow, there's a floor plan for every camper. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
They have really good etiquette at Jayco. When we went out to visit them at their campus, very polite.
Very welcoming. And if you ever want to visit them, they have a great tour. You go to the visitor center there, you can sign up for a tour. I think it's daily, but they have all the information on the website.
Call ahead, I think, is what they say.
So it's fun. All right. So this segment, the opening segment of this, we just kind of want to talk about what campground etiquette is in the first place and kind of what our view on it is, because it may be a little bit different than some people. You know, immediately when anybody on social media starts talking about campground etiquette, they start talking about kids cutting through campsites or dogs barking or whatever. But we kind of take a little bit of a more global view.
Those things matter, but yes, more of a philosophical view.
Yeah. So we first of all remind everybody that etiquette is not rules, right? So rules are going to vary from campground to campground. And it's really important to know the rules and to follow them.
Being loud around the campfire at 10:30 might not be good etiquette at one campground, but it might be perfectly acceptable at another campground.
Yeah. Etiquette is more of those ways that we all make sure that we're friendly neighbors and then we can kind of know the guiding principles behind a campground culture so that we can make sure that we're being good neighbors. And then we can know when somebody else maybe isn't being a good neighbor and what to do about it to get that end result that you want, not to just wave your hands in the air like I did and yell at a guy who's driving by. But so anyway, so we wanted to go back to a Trailer Life article that we wrote on this topic.
Can I show you some love, honey? You wrote that article.
Yeah, I wrote the
that one.
So that I wrote on the
I got my name on it too because I provided the photos and I'm just, I do Jedi mind tricks sometimes.
But I was on Facebook one day and I'm like.
This was a real, I have to stop you. This was my favorite article that you've ever written for Trailer Life. And it got a really big response. It got a lot of letters to Trailer Life. It really got people talking about etiquette because it's universal. Every camper thinks about or cares about or doesn't care about etiquette. So it did get a nice big response. And then Stephanie wanders into, we won't mention the name, Stephanie wanders into one of these RV Facebook groups and everyone's talking about her article.
Well, this guy posted, okay? And I love the fact that he ended his post with, here's the entire article, which, except for the bit about the dump station, seems pretty good. And then he gave a link to it. Seems pretty good.
I love that kind of thinking too. Like you did 100 things good and one thing bad. So let's talk about the bad.
Well, I don't think that what I did was bad, but I disagree with him. But so anyway, he said he waits patiently at the dump station. When it's my turn, he does what he needs to do. And I can't afford to get intimidated by the diesel pusher idling and inching.
It's always those diesel pushers.
The idling and inching ever so close by the minute. If I need to do a black tank flush then and there, I will do it, but Trailer Life Magazine says I would be breaking campground etiquette. What say you?
Trailer Life Magazine, a.k.a. Stephanie.
Me. So,
obviously, this really happened to this guy, where some diesel pusher just kept coming up on him. You know?
I don't know. All right, so here's the deal. In the article, I said, if you use the campground's dump station, just move quickly when other RVers are waiting in line with their RVs and take care of the black tank flush at your next stop. Now, I didn't say don't empty your tanks. So a lot of people didn't understand the difference between emptying their tanks and doing a black tank flush. A black tank flush is like an extra cleaning step that some people have.
And you really do it, right? You probably need to take a few minutes, minutes, 10 minutes to do it.
Everybody knows on Sundays when it's checkout time, the line for some of these stations can get like eons long. And if everybody were doing maintenance, like which some people do at the dump station, things could get a little out of hand. So this isn't saying that you can't do it. Again, this is that whole etiquette thing. It's not about whether you can or can't. It's about thinking about how what you do kind of can affect other people at the campground.
The point is a valid one. If 10 people are in line and everyone flushes their black tank for 10 minutes, it's a disaster. It's a problem.
It really
is. Look, I agree with you. I personally would not do a black tank flush if even one person was in line behind me.
Well, there were like, I think like 3,000 people who just jumped on this because people were like, yeah, like it was like as if there was a team of bullies at the dump station and everybody's like, move on, buddy, move on. You can't.
People are like throwing stuff at the guy.
And that's what happens when you talk about Camp Grand Etiquette. Everybody starts like being the nastiest people imaginable. It's like, that's not the point.
But not our audience. Okay. They're going to keep it right. Civilized.
All right. So here are our sort of ideas, right? This is what we think campground etiquette should be all about in order to ensure that you're not looking for negative experiences. You're not like thinking, I bet a diesel pusher is going to idle up behind me and push me out of the dump station, right?
It's our first principle for campground etiquette. You need to expect good things. You need to go to the campground with a happy attitude, looking to have fun. Any situation in life, if you are really looking around for people to do negative things that annoy you, you will always find them. You will always find something to complain about. And the campground should be the happiest place that we go to. So we're happy when we go to the campground. We're not looking for people to bother us.
Right. I always say, I have this friend, and her mother, I think, specifically goes to restaurants and orders the thing off the menu that she should not order in order to complain, right? Who's like gone to the diner and ordered like the shrimp?
Don't order
the shrimp off the diner menu, right? Because it's like that.
It's almost like a challenge.
There's like a certain type of person that's looking to be disappointed, right? Like, order the pancakes, people. You're at the diner. So the campground's the same thing. Like, you can be the kind of person who shows up looking for the problems and saying, like, what don't I like? Or you can be the kind of person that shows up any place with rose-colored glasses and looks to be happy. And I honestly think that that's what we always do when we go to a campground.
And I have to say, I think 99% of campers and RV owners do show up expecting to be happy and not sweating the little things. It's that other, because campers and RVers are happy people. It's that other 1%. And that other 1%, they spend a lot of time in Facebook groups.
Yeah, they post a lot.
They're on Facebook, which is why they're not part of the happy 99%, right. Probably.
All right, so our second principle for campground etiquette is let the little things go, right? Don't let these little annoyances ruin your entire stage. If your entire stay. If you read campground reviews, sometimes you can tell that some people allow little things to just ruin their entire time at a campground. So if, you know, a neighbor wakes you up super early in the morning before quiet hours, or, you know, just put earplugs in, roll over and go back.
It could happen. People have kids. People might be walking their dog and their dog might bark a couple times. I mean, if you're focused on the minute little issues, again, you will be irritated and annoyed.
Yeah. All right. And our third principle for kind of being happy campers, right, and is to talk to campground management about any issues. Don't stew. Don't freak out. Don't go on social media. Talk. Just go to management.
And do it after it happens.
Right away. So they can fix it.
If kids are running across your site Friday night when you show up and you wait to address that on social media Monday, you've lost. Okay.
Right.
You've lost the game of life. You know, you need to just go deal with it in a nice, decent, friendly way with the managers or directly with the people. Don't stew because you just get angrier and angrier. If you're going to talk to a person and go over and say, hey, your kids are running across my site, I'm worried they're going to trip in my fire pit, don't wait till it's happened 10 times and you're really angry about
right.
it. Do it quickly. And when you're not that upset about it, though most of us wait till we're angry to deal with things.
If you have kids that are running through your site, go, hey guys, the path's that way. I don't want anybody to trip on anything on our site. I don't want my dog to, you know, get nervous. Can you use the path? Use your teacher voice, you know, channel a teacher voice and say, hey guys, don't yell at kids. Don't yell at other people's kids. Use your like authoritative, kind voice and point kids in the right direction.
Do you think it's better to try and deal with it with the person directly before going to management? Like I probably would try to deal with it with the person first before going to directly to a manager.
I think that going up to somebody and saying your dog's barking all the time is like a recipe for disaster. I think it's better to go to management and say, hey, you know what? There's an RV.
Yeah.
And there's a dog that's been barking for 8 hours. Can you check on it? And I think that the people who are the authority, it's like we always tell little kids, like tell a teacher.
The other thing too, so many of the negative TripAdvisor reviews and so many of the negative comments on social media, you clearly see the person didn't try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And so it kept happening. You know, give the manager or the owner of the campground the opportunity to make things right.
Yeah. All right. So those are our three, you know, kind of like overall principles, right? For how we camp all the time and we have really great experiences. We don't walk away all miserable. And I do think it's because we kind of go into these situations looking at them like this overall.
And I think most of us do at the campground.
All right. So now we're going to dive into some specifics in our next segment. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for another great segment all about campground etiquette. This time we're going to be talking about shared spaces and common ground and some rules that go along with that. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. And if you think about it, this company has everything to do with good etiquette at the campground.
Just dumping in general?
Dumping carefully using Thetford products.
All right. Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you're planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups this upcoming year, you need to snag yourself a Smart Tote 2 LX, which is going to easily let you empty that gray water during your stay so that you can use the shower, you can wash your dishes, you can do all of that stuff, and then you can take the tote and go to the dump
station.
It's
incredibly bad etiquette to slowly pull the gray water when you're at a place without sewer.
Disgusting.
Just let it run out onto the ground. People do it.
People do it. And you know what? We all know you're doing it because all of a sudden it smells.
And you just have to buy a Thetford Smart Tote.
Yeah.
It does. It smells. That's the thing. Gray water smells, people.
If somebody says, oh, I'm going to do this in secret. And then you're sitting there and you're like, what's that smell?
The wind blows and you're smelling somebody's dirty dishes.
And it is. It's like somebody's emptying out their dishwater. No.
So get either the 18, the 27, or the 35-gallon model. We have the 27. That's the best-selling one. It fits in the back of my pickup truck. It's not too gigantic.
35 is big, so you got to have the room to store
that. Well, you want to think about how big your own tanks are, too. But the 35, yeah, you need to be strong.
All right, and you can go to Thetford.com for more information, or you can follow the links on our website at rbfta.com.
All right, so let's talk shared spaces and common ground. And this is really important to think about because campgrounds take a whole bunch of strangers and pack them into a small space and y'all got to live together for a while.
It's kind of weird when you think about it, right? Like it's all of these strangers in a really small amount of room and you don't have a lot of like stuff in between you to buffer that. Like your camp wall, you know, your RV walls are thin. Like a lot of you just have canvas ends and everything. And you're kind of choosing to be around a bunch of people that you may not know. So let's like get that straight. Is you're choosing to be in that situation. So you're not in the middle of the woods. If you, you know, you're at a campground, which I'm at campground etiquette. If you want to be alone, you need to boondock. Right?
BLM land could be good for you. If you don't like people, there are options.
You have to go somewhere where there aren't people.
If you really don't like people, maybe don't buy an RV.
Okay. So, this is my number one thing. And I put it as number one on this for shared spaces. You have to follow the rules of the campground that you choose to visit.
And I think this could be controversial. I mean, hey, listeners, you don't bring the rules with you.
Yeah, you're not.
You
you're
don't.
Not,
a lot of people act that way. Like, well, this is how I live. And I'm bringing this to you. It's not how it works. I mean, different campgrounds have different rules. And if you show up and you don't like the rules, well, maybe that's not the right campground for you.
Right.
Maybe you should read the rules beforehand.
And look at me for them. Because if you read bad reviews of campgrounds, so many times it's the people complaining about the rules. But most campgrounds post the rules. So go to campgrounds that kind of jive with your personal style of camping.
Can I give the number one example?
Yeah.
I read so many negative reviews, and they're usually not from the RV-centric places. They're more from like the TripAdvisor-centric places. I read so many negative reviews that go something like this. It was only 11 o'clock at night, and the owner came over on his golf cart, and he told us we had to, you know, stop playing Steely Dan, you know, and put the fire out and be quiet. We're keeping people
the
up.
Nerve.
And it's like, okay, but quiet hour starts at 10 at that campground. And there's a lot of people there with kids or a lot of people that want to get some sleep, and they want it just to be quiet in the evening and peaceful in the evening. So again, you don't bring the quiet hour to the campground. They have it established already.
Yeah, you're not in charge of quiet hours, right? So just abide by the rules of the campground. I mean, whether or not you like their quiet hours, whether or not you like their alcohol policy, if you choose to go there, just abide by the rules. That's our number one.
Okay. And sometimes it can take you by surprise. Like there are a rare few campgrounds that don't allow alcohol at all. And I think sometimes people do show up and they're like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, put it in a sippy cup and move on, people.
It's also a good idea to take a quick look at some of the rules.
Yeah. All right, number two. Drive slowly and obey the traffic directions. This is so easy, and yet it is one of the most common complaints for people too, all right? There is never a reason to drive more than 5 miles an hour.
We both lose it when people drive really fast through the campground. And frankly, to be honest, partly because we have kids that still dart into the road to get a baseball or to get a kickball. You know, they're
but
just at that
just
age.
It's not just the kids. I think that in general, when you're at a campground, you take a more relaxed, you know, like feeling of walking through the roads and everything. So it's really important that everybody understands that you're on campground time and you can't be in a rush to get anywhere. People are walking their dogs. People are riding bikes. They're playing catch, you know, in places that are a little more common. So just make sure that you drive slowly. If you do, that'll be one of the easiest ways to make friendly neighbors.
Picture that campground where people have all their trucks parked at the edge of the site and like some kid walking out from behind the truck onto the road. You're not going to see him till the last possible second. So it should be 5 miles per hour. And so, you know, when campgrounds post 10, I think that's too fast. But you have to obey the rules of the campground.
I know. But you don't have to go 10 miles an
hour. You don't have to go. It's the maximum.
That's the max. All right. Number three, respect shared spaces and monitor children. All right. So pool and playgrounds can be hot spots for controversy at the campground because
bounce pillows.
You have kids of all ages, right? People bring their little ones and then you've got the teenagers and they're all interacting in the same spot and people get really upset. So we're not saying that you need to walk around with your 12 or 13 year old holding their hands at all times, but you need to be really, really knowledgeable about whether your tweens and teens know how to act around younger kids.
One of the biggest problems we see at campgrounds is when you have a pack of teenagers that are not being monitored and they're like at the playground, you know, and then there's families there with their 5-year-old, their 6-year-old, their 7-year-old, and those little kids are getting bounced off the bounce pillow by these very aggressive mobs of older kids. And again, Stephanie's not saying, and I'm not saying that you have to necessarily monitor your 13-year-old, but you need to know your 13-year-old. Is your 13-year-old going to go and bounce some little kid off the bounce pillow and send him flying in the air? Or is your 13-year-old kid pretty responsible, right?
Yeah.
So there's not a set defined rule here, but you need to know your children. And if they're not totally ready to be alone, then they shouldn't be.
And I would say that even if you have kids that are willing to be, that are able to be independent, I really believe that you should be kind of constantly monitoring them anyway in that sort of drive-by way. So when our boys are at the Gaga Ball Pit, I may take a bike ride, but I'm like going to loop and I'm going to like, or walk the dog and I'm going to go by and I'm just going to be constantly checking in on the situation and making sure, because sometimes older kids take advantage of little kids and they're just not playing fair or whatever. And you know what, even the kids that we have that we love our little darlings, they make bad choices sometimes and we need to be careful that they're, you know,
I think at the end of the day, we all do know our kids. And as much as you might want your 12, 13, 14 year old to just go off and leave you alone while you relax, you know, that might be great for you. It might be very relaxing for you. Might not be great for everybody else.
All right. Now, here's number four. Discard all garbage and recycling in proper containers. All
You're
right.
Such a teacher.
Come on. Really?
Even more importantly, like the glass in the campfire, like the broken bottle left in the campfire, the pizza box left in the campfire. Yeah. That kind of stuff drives us crazy.
Have you ever seen like the picture of like the field after, you know, any sort of like musical festival and everything? I mean, people are just animals, right? Like it's awful. We just show up and we're like, oh, we're all about nature and we love being outside.
Americans
and we love
produce a lot of garbage
and
too.
And then we just like trash the joint and leave. So campgrounds, you know, it's easy to not feel like invested because you don't live there, right? It's not your yard. It's not your garbage bins. And so you're like overflowing or you're not separating out recycling. But honestly, a lot of people are saying like RVers have a big environmental impact because there's a lot of us now and there's more and more every day. And are we really treating everything as well as we should?
The golden rule is you leave the campsite and the campground better than you found it. And I got to be honest, I don't think that our generation is good at that kind of mentality as much as maybe an older generation was, that when you show up, you look at how things are and you leave it better. That was my grandfather's rule. You know, if you're working, you leave it cleaner when you're done.
Teach your kids maybe to do a little like sweep at the campground. We talked about chores at the top of this episode. Teach them to do a little sweep at the campground. Make sure that everything's nice and tidy. And maybe we can change that if we teach our kids, like, let's make sure we leave this nicer than it was when we got here. And maybe that's one of the more important things that we can teach our kids as we camp in our, you know, in
another RV. Really important thing to teach our kids that has everything to do with campground etiquette and just etiquette in life is to say thank you. And we really think it's important if you have a great experience at a campground to thank the people that make that experience happen, whether it's a manager or an owner or the camp workers. Most campground owners are not getting filthy rich running campgrounds. It's a family business. They're making a living. And it can make their day if you go up to them and say, hey, I really had a great weekend here. I'm going to leave you a nice review. Thank you for helping my family have such a good time.
Yeah, it's an operating thing for us at RVFTA that we obviously focus on recommendations and promoting the positive things that we love instead of spending time like with negative reviews and everything. So that's something that we believe very strongly in. And we always notice people are more likely to go to social media when they're really unhappy about things and start ranting. And we don't like that. Like, we would prefer if all of us thought, hey, I had a great experience. Let me leave a positive review. And then those positive reviews will help guide other people to finding this place. So just make sure if you had a great experience with a camp worker, you tell the manager on the way out. I mean, it's just something we always try to do. And I think it makes a difference.
And frankly, I want my kids to see me doing it.
Right.
I want my sons to see me thanking people.
Our boys are such critics too, aren't they? They're like, was that particular really bad customer service? They'll say things like that.
Little podcast toast or something. And
then, was that really good? Like, they really notice because we're always talking about it and they see us.
But it's
really
like analytical. It's not like they're like angry about it or something.
No, they're very analytical about things. They've learned how to review things. That's for sure.
All right. Are we ready? So we're going to be back in a second. We're going to be talking about more campground etiquette. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for another segment all about campground etiquette, and we're going to be talking about tending to your own plot of land at the campground. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. And now you can rent through Outdoorsy in the United States and in Canada. You have a few options out there for renting your RV, so what makes Outdoorsy different? A lot, actually. They have a $1 million insurance policy that covers owners, and they also have roadside assistance and automatic DMV background checks. We also love the owner support, like checklists for pre-arrival, departure, and return. Plus, there's a Facebook group for owners.
They've got their act together.
Yeah, we're
Penny is listed.
And Penny's listed.
Our $1,000 pop-up camper, which we spent a little bit more money on fixing it up, is now listed as an Outdoorsy rental, and we are renting from Outdoorsy this summer. We are renting a Jayco X213 hybrid, taking it to Mount Rushmore. So we're going to get both ends of the Outdoorsy experience.
All right, visit outdoorsy.com/list-your-RV for more info today. All right, you ready to dive in to tending to your own plot of land?
Yeah, and the first one here is to observe your own campsite boundaries. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's obvious. It depends on where you camp. Like, for instance, we showed up at that Sunset Beach campground last summer, which is now the Chesapeake Bay KOA. And the sites were not clearly delineated, if that's the right word, clearly marked. So we couldn't tell where our site ended and someone else's site began. But it looked like somebody had a tent on our site, on the back of our site. So I kind of had to go out and kind of awkwardly say, like, is this part of our site or part of your site? And the guy was like, I don't know. He's like, if I'm on your site, I'll move it.
Yeah.
We actually had to get a camp worker to come over, and then he showed us how all the sites lined up.
Yeah.
So the guy was very nice. There was no issue, but he had to like take the whole tent down. But yeah, he was camping with an RV and a tent, which was allowed,
so
I guess.
It's already come up on our Facebook group a million times. Everywhere you look, people are always complaining about kids cutting through sites. But it's not just kids. It's actually sometimes adults too. I want to say two things about this. First of all, some people who are new to RVing really do not understand that if your site is like backed up to a field with a playground or something, that it's not okay to walk like around your site. Some people don't honestly know that, and it's not something that they're used to. So first of all, just be nice. Always first, and just try to communicate where the path is.
We figured out very politely with no argument that that man's tent shouldn't have been on our site, and he moved it. He was apologetic, and then we chatted all weekend with that guy. You know, no problems. We dealt with it the right way.
So not only can you be nice about it first, but you can also make sure that you don't camp near sort of high traffic areas if you are someone that is highly sensitive to this. If you are highly sensitive to people on your site, don't camp near a playground. Don't camp near the bathhouse. Okay,
the pool. Just there's going to be people milling around all day long.
Look at a campground map and try to put yourself on a boundary or like towards the back of the campground or something. Try to find a spot that's right for you.
Call up and say, I don't like people that much.
I kind of don't like people.
And you know what? They'll know the site for you. Yeah. They will have the site for you.
Because they've had people like you there before that aren't happy with anything and they'll know where to put you.
Second rule for tending to your own site, be conscious of noise, right? Like not everyone wants to hear Stephanie jamming Jethro Tull, like which she does.
I have not jammed Jethro Tull.
You own Jethro Tull records.
Yeah, but I haven't jammed in a long time.
Because you observe campground etiquette. But not everyone likes your music.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're cranking Def Leppard, I'm probably okay with that.
But
pour some sugar on me. But somebody else might not like that.
I actually think that you break this rule sometimes. And I have to say to you, Jer, I think the music is a little loud.
And then do I argue or do I turn it down?
No, you turn it down, but you kind of sigh like you just did.
But here's a... Because I love listening to music at the campground.
Yeah.
Now, and look, we're going to Massey's Landing at some point this summer. Everyone's playing music. It's a loud campground. You know, like there's certain places where it's like, okay, fine, play your music. But a good way to kind of test this out is to put the music on and walk away from your site. Right. And if you walk over to the next site and it's really loud, well, then you need to turn it down. But you might be surprised. You might walk over to the next site and go, well, I can't even really hear that.
Right. But you should not be able to hear it next door because it's not fair if that person didn't choose that music as the soundtrack to their best life experience.
A lot of people don't want to hear music when they're camping.
Exactly. Like me. I would love the peace and quiet.
Stephanie does not listen to music anymore. Ever.
No, because my life is so noisy.
So much noise in your life.
Yeah. That I love it when I get an opportunity for everything to be quiet.
God forbid
I
put on some like punk rock or something from my past, like put on the Ramones or something. She just runs.
I can't. I've got no cool left in me.
All right, let's wade into some controversial waters here. You do need to be a responsible dog owner at the campground. And somebody in our Facebook group said that they really had some issues with dogs off leash at the last campground they were at. I'm not going to tell the whole story now.
Yeah, but
I was bitten by a dog at a campground.
Yeah. So
is bitten a word?
You were bitten by a dog.
By a dog.
So here's the thing. People have two ways about them with this dog thing. They either think that there should be absolutely no boundaries on dogs whatsoever and my dog is amazing and you should be fine with my dog and he's nice and don't worry about it. Or they like to leave Facebook comments that are like 5 paragraphs long about proper dog etiquette.
And they're writing them while some dog is barking in the RV next to them.
And they're upset. So here's what you need to understand. Your personal dog habits are not the point here at the campground. The campground's dog rules are the point, okay? So you need to be aware of what the campground demands. And if the campground demands a 6-foot leash, then you need to have your dog on a 6-foot leash. If the campground demands that you not leave your dog alone in the RV, then you may not leave your dog alone in the RV. However, anybody reasonable knows that people who RV leave their dogs in an RV all the time.
Just like they do in a house.
Can I just say that my RV is the same size as many of the people in this production studio's apartment buildings here in New York. Like, no, there's small apartments in New York
City.
Your
RV's your second home.
The studio apartments are the same size as my toy hauler.
You're getting controversial here, by the way.
I know I am.
But our RV has air conditioning. We have ways to check in.
Here's the thing. Campground etiquette is not about your opinions about what I should do with my dog. Campground etiquette is about knowing how your decisions impact other people. So if I leave my dog in the RV, I'm going to do it because Maggie doesn't bark at anybody. You know? She's never going to sit
If somebody came to our door at midnight at her house, she would bark.
She would bark, and that's the only time. So she's not going to sit there and bark at the campground. So
she's
I'm going to leave her in
the RV.
But if your dog is going to bark in that RV, then you best not leave the dog in the RV. Like, keep the dog on a leash. Don't let your dog bark in the RV. It's really that simple. Oh, and carry around your poop bags, right? It's not complicated.
You got to keep the poop bags in your pocket. All right, next. You want to really safely tend to your campfire. Like, I don't want to be in my camper at 11 o'clock at night and look out and see that you've gone to bed and your fire is raging, right? And some people kind of don't really fully put out their fire. So let's follow Smokey the Bear's rules here. And let's really fully extinguish our campfires for the sake of safety. And in some places, like when we were in Cape Cod, there are true safety issues with leaving a fire burning,
even just
a little bit, in terms of wind, in terms of things being very, very dry. So fully put out the campfire, even if that's not your thing. And also there's smoke blowing around, right? So extinguish your campfires at the campground.
All right. Now, this is another controversial one. Turn off your exterior lights. Now, not all the time. You know, if we post a picture of running lights on an RV.
You mean at when you go to bed or at quiet, when quiet time starts.
Right. So, but here's the thing. Some people don't want you to have lights on at any time of the night. Like you're like busted into their dark sky.
People do like actually get annoyed that RVs have lights on them.
Right. So if we've posted pictures on our social media with like an RV with the running light fuse in, right, that keeps the running lights on, you'll always get the person who comments, oh, you know, you're lighting up the sky at the campground. Again, if that's how you feel about things, you probably should be boondocking.
Maybe you should be tent camping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, far away.
Because RVs do have lights.
Yeah.
That being said, if you show up to some gorgeous state park where it's like a dark night location where people go to stargazing and you drop on every light on your RV, every LED, and you put rope lights around every tree and hang them up in the air, that is probably not good campground etiquette.
Right.
So it is a little situational. Like when we were at the Gettysburg KOA last year, everybody was decorating their sites with lights. That was clearly the culture of the campground. Mm-hmm. So we did the same, and that's fine.
But then Skudik Woods in Acadia National Park, that's a national park campground, and they had a policy for no exterior RV lights at all because they wanted to allow people to see the night sky and keep down light pollution. So it's really good. Some campgrounds are going to make it clear, and that's great. No matter what, you need to extinguish all exterior lights when at quiet time. When you go to bed, make sure that your outside light is not shining into poor someone's pop-up who's camping next
to you. I think that sometimes
you.
People just forget that they have some kind of light on in the RV that's shining outside and they don't realize it. Sometimes it's just an accident, but turn those lights off when you go in for the night or at the quiet hour. All right, what is next? We talked about this already. Leave the campsite as you have found
this
it.
Is a little
Leave the
different.
Campground as you found it.
This is a little different. In our time camping, we have seen people put screws into trees to hang like lines or hammocks or things.
We've heard chainsaws cutting down trees.
We have seen people chopping down branches and trees with chainsaws.
And this was not at a state park in the middle of nowhere. This
no.
was at a Jellystone.
It was at a Jellystone.
Somebody took out his chainsaw.
And then at a KOA, there was a Boy Scout troop with a chainsaw. Remember? Well,
the chainsaw
chopping...
was, it was ripping all day. I was going to buy the guy firewood. I was like, dude, come on.
They have this for
crazy.
Sale. Like you can't do your firewood right now. Yeah. So here's the thing. Do not in any way, it might have been something that you were taught when you were little that you can like put screws into trees in order to hang your clothing line or something. You can't do that. It actually like kills the trees. It can hurt the trees. Don't do that. Don't put nails into trees to hang up your cute little lantern. Like don't do things like that. Don't chop down wood.
Don't modify nature. At the campground.
And we shouldn't have to say it, but I've seen it happen so many times that I feel like we have to say it. It doesn't matter if your dad did it, if they nailed things up every time you went to the campground. Like, we can't do that. We know now it hurts the trees. Like, the trees are silently screaming.
They
like,
are.
Don't do that.
And so,
okay.
Stephanie. All right, we're going to come back in a second with one last round of rules for campground etiquette, all about making friends at the campground. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for our last segment on campground etiquette. We're going to be talking about making friends instead of enemies. That seems like a really good idea. And this segment is sponsored by our friends at Go RVing.
Did you know there are over 4 million miles of road in the United States? Some lead you home and some take you away. ROA has taken us to national parks, vibrant cities, beaches, and mountains. It's taken us across the country and around the corner. At Away, Go RVing brings you real stories from real people who've hit the road in their RVs searching for their Away. If you haven't seen our personal Away video, which was filmed at our all-time favorite RV destination in the world, Acadia National Park, make sure you check it out. You can find it at away.gorving.com.
And can we drop it in the show notes
sure,
for this
absolutely.
Episode? All right, let's talk social etiquette basics. Making friends instead of enemies. Here's one of my favorite etiquette tips because, frankly, a lot of people violate this tip at the campground, even really nice people. When someone is pulling in and unhitching, don't walk up and start talking to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think people are pulling my leg and joking when they do that. Like they're just coming up because they know I don't like it. But the number of people that will just walk up while you are unhitching, you are 8,000 pound camper, it's like, come on, like let somebody focus for a second, because I'm the type of person that will make a mistake if I'm not fully focused.
Yes, it is distracting, and it's also extremely dangerous. Give people their space. You know, our correspondent, Kate, she says that she has some sort of sign that she puts out, basically like, don't talk to me until I'm sitting in this chair with like, and I'm like, that's so Kate, because she would do that with the confidence and just be totally, and
the rest of us would be like, we'll have an awkward conversation where we're clearly worried we're going to get like our fingers pinched on our equalizer sway bar or whatever it is. But Kate's just like, no,
go away. Until I, hand. She says, like, until I'm sitting in my chair with a drink, you're not allowed
They're
to talk to
They're all waiting
me.
For Kate to cook for them.
we should all have signs that say, like, leave me alone. I'm not ready for you yet.
Let people focus, even if it's your buddy. You know, and oftentimes it's that family you're camping with. They run up like, oh, you want a beer? You're here. They're excited to see you. But just, all right, give me a few minutes.
And don't give people help unless they've asked for it, right?
Tip number two. I mean, don't walk up to somebody who's clearly a novice and just randomly start helping them back up. That actually can stress people out a lot more than just, like, they need the practice.
Yeah.
Let that husband-wife team back in and out a few times. And then if clearly they can't get in and you want to ask, you know, to help, then go ask and help. But
I think
let
a nice
them
way
try.
Is to say, hey, if you need any help backing up, we're over here. Like, after you've seen them struggle for a while, or you see somebody who doesn't, one night, we've talked about this before. Very early on, we could not get our heater,
in the pop-up camper,
started.
And it was 38 degrees.
It was freezing cold. We had babies. We had two babies with us. And two older gentlemen walked over to you and said, can we help you?
RV Jedis. You know those guys. Those older guys at the campground. And they didn't run right up to me. You know, and they weren't they weren't trying to either show off or embarrass me. Once they did walk over, they came over quietly and said, hey, do you need a little help getting that started? And they taught me a thing or two, you know, and they got the heater going and we were toasty warm in the camper that night.
Right. So give people space and let them learn, but at the same time, be willing to offer a friendly hand, you know, and lend a hand if they need
help. Sometimes it's the nicest, friendliest people who do just jump in too quickly to help when somebody might need a little time to focus. Just hang back a little bit and don't pull up chairs. As people pull up chairs
like
when you're backing into your campsite. I've had people crack beers while I'm like pulling into a campsite, backing in.
It's a show. I always am like, Jeremy, just ignoring. You're like, really? Really, guys? Is this your like happy hour?
Just to be clear, we're not telling people not to help. We're saying, you need to help other people. Pay it forward, but give people a little space if they're doing things on their own, just maybe not at the pace that you would take to do them.
Yeah. And speaking of pay it forward, that really does wrap up so much of what we're talking about here. If you have extra firewood, leave it. If you see somebody's hose isn't long enough to reach their water hookup, offer them an extra hose. Like, that campground mojo really does exist.
We've been lent hoses.
Everybody's
power cords.
Doing it.
We had somebody bring us a box of ice cream sandwiches when they were leaving the campground.
Yes,
it's those little things.
And I'm telling you, I forgot all about that, but I bet our boys remember that.
Yeah.
It was like Christmas morning, like ice cream
and
sandwiches.
Just that kind of general good-natured attitude that most RV owners have. That's part of the magic of the RV experience.
Oh, remember when our stabilizer jack fuse blew?
Gosh, somebody helped me.
He brought out his whole toolkit.
Yeah.
He had all of the different drills. And
he had the drills.
He had all of the different drills.
Yeah, I mean, my battery almost fried.
Yeah.
And this guy saved me because I did not know what was happening with the battery. I mean, there was water in the cells and everything. It wasn't like a basic, simple battery problem.
Yeah.
So pay it forward at the campground. Also give people their space. Let's circle back to the beginning. Go to the campground looking for good things to happen, looking for a magical camping experience, understanding that people aren't perfect, campgrounds aren't perfect, and if you're looking for negative things, you will find them, so don't look that hard.
Yes.
Look to relax and have fun and enjoy your family, enjoy some quiet time away from the crazy stress of everyday life.
Absolutely. We hope that you all have a wonderful time meeting only friendly people who are observing wonderful campground etiquette at the campground.
And RVFJ, the group, there's all these friendly people.
Friendly people, lots of campground.
And unfriendly ones.
Lots of good Facebook etiquette over in our Facebook group.
It's like a model of Facebook etiquette on our RVFJ, the group. I have not banished someone from the group in like 2 months.
That's impressive.
I know.
All right.
Seriously.
All right, everybody. We'll see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.